years ago. So there ain't no fake except the one you make. And there ain't no hell except the shit you take every day. So don't tell me life doesn't hurt. And then you don't need the people cause you got your checks. You gotta take your head out of the sky. Because there ain't nothing there but the satellites.
And we are the Nonprofits. But it didn't have to be that way. I'm Dennis Lubay with Jeff D. and Russell Glasser. And if there was no religion, there would be no reason for us to be coming to you live from an undisclosed location in Austin, Texas, on the 5th of March, 2014, to discuss atheistic news and opinions. Even our sponsor, the Atheist Community of Austin, would not exist without religion. What purpose would a nonprofit educational organization for the promotion of positive atheism and the separation of church and state serve if there was no church? And since you wouldn't need to learn more about a non-existent nonprofit, there would be one less voicemail at 512-220-6561 and one less website at www.atheist-community.org. If not for religion, we would be doing something other than broadcasting this show every first and third Wednesday of each month from 7 to 8:30 Central Time, and you wouldn't have to read the instructions at www.nonprofitsradio.com to get the non-existent chat room. Of course, then again, you would have to sit back, relax, and find something else to enjoy.
Thank you, Dennis, for that wonderfully hypothetical intro.
We owe religion so much.
How's everybody? Russell, good. You good this week?
Yeah. I just got breaking news seconds before the show from Facebook that my nephew is crawling. Yay.
I assume that's from extreme youth rather than inebriation.
Yes.
And is that accompanied by some kind of creepy soundtrack?
But some of you guys might remember my sister Karen from way back.
Of course I remember Karen. Karen's awesome.
The Atheist Experience.
I did the Atheist Experience show with her as co-host on at least one occasion that I can remember.
Oh, quite a few times, I would imagine. I don't know.
It has been a long time.
But anyway, Bailey Hawthorne, 5 months old, and eating solid food and crawling. Breaking.
Cool.
Well, here we are again. It's March.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just gonna claim the talking stick right now.
Go for it.
What is it? It's the talking pipe or something. An American Indian.
Yeah, there's a totem or something.
Talking feather.
It's a
speaking
feather.
How could you talk while you were smoking a pipe?
I don't know.
Unless it's like a lead pipe, you could just.
It's a
brandish
feather.
It.
I just couldn't remember, Russell.
Only if your name is Colonel Mustard.
I remembered now. It's a speaking feather.
Ah.
You don't get tickled with the feather, so you can still talk.
Very well. Colonel Mustard with the speaking feather in the conservatory.
I want to get some old business out of the way.
Okay.
Old business is business, and new business is new business, and we don't talk about new business until next quarter. I just started listening to the podcast from the 19th February, and it has to be said, the best nonprofits intro ever. Nice one, Dennis, says says Thursday.
My bizarre alien intro, yes.
It had a fan.
Cool.
Kudos. It was one of my favorites also. Another letter. Last episode, like in many others, you showed off your talents and respect with respect to accents and impersonations. Being from Canada, I particularly like Jeff's Canadian accent.
Yes, I thought my Neptunian one was pretty good.
Which I'm totally not doing right now. You want to talk about your kudos some more? You did have a shorter one than me. You want to go back?
No.
Thursday's
really.
Oh,
Dennis,
Thursday
your
really.
Intro was so amazing.
Really, thank you.
Really liked your intro.
Gosh.
I particularly like Jeff's Canadian accent. It's bang on 80s Bob and Doug McKenzie. What angers me is that Jeff from Texas can do it better than I from Canada can. Signed, Eric from Canada.
Oh, God. Somebody must have said something great about me, right? Right?
Unfortunately, we did not receive any Russell-specific kudos this episode, Russell.
Oh, man.
What am I, chopped liver?
Now, you have in the past received kudos for your Things Internet Apologists Say segments. And you, do you have one of those for us again today?
I do, in fact. And it's got some context.
Well, you can keep hammering away on that thing and see if you can get any more appreciation.
Okay.
They love you for your clear thinking.
Please like me.
Shall we do some news?
We shall. And this is also sort of old/new business because we talked about the Ken Ham, Bill Nye debate for a while.
Yeah.
And then
Ken Ham and Bill Nye. I'm sorry. Then Ken Ham talked about it. Our guest talked about it from
Naomi.
No. The call-in guest.
What guest?
Oh,
our phone guest.
Robertson.
Pat Robertson. And Ken Ham talked about it.
Well, that went smoothly.
Yeah.
We're off to a good start.
It's starting a sentence without all the words.
I'm just going to write this down. Pat Robertson.
I know what his name I'll figure out his name by the end of the sentence.
Robertson, eh? I don't think I'm familiar with that name.
No.
All right. Go ahead with some news. This is Ken Ham news.
Ken Ham. Creation Museum $73 million Noah's Ark Park to begin construction in Kentucky.
Boo.
A Christian ministry's long stalled plans to build Noah's Ark in the hills of Kentucky have been revived. Creation Museum founder Ken Ham announced Thursday that a municipal bond offering has raised enough money to begin construction on the Ark Encounter project, estimated to cost about $73 million.
May I ask a question?
Yes.
It's not so much a question as an observation. It appears to be saying that he has not got all the money or even bonds to cover all the money they're eventually going
to
need.
Enough money
he
to
got
begin construction.
Some more.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So he's blindly moving forward.
Forging ahead.
With no idea whatsoever where he will eventually. Yeah.
Yeah. Also, from what I've read, Ken Ham's other organization, Answers in Genesis, has chipped in some unspecified amount of money from their operating funds.
And he's still only got enough to begin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My prediction, he's building another deserted theme park.
Yes.
Right. Like what's the other one? Was that Kent Hovind's thing in Florida that you're talking about?
I think we can throw this open to our listeners. Can anybody out there find one of these Christian theme parks that's like still in operation, say, I don't know, 10 years after it opens?
I don't know, but I went to
can anybody find out which is the one that lasted the longest and when it died?
So I went to Orlando in 2011 for my honeymoon, and one of the options that we passed on in going to Universal Studios and Disney and all that was the Holy Land Experience.
Oh, right.
That is still around.
Still
and I
going
think,
on, huh?
Bill Maher featured that in Religious.
Right.
Okay, but when did it start?
I don't know.
But I predict that in 5 years, you'll have YouTube videos of people walking through the ruins of Ark Encounter.
Yes.
All right, go on.
Ham said that a high-profile evolution debate he had with science guy Bill Nye on February 4th helped boost support for the project.
Yeah, if that debate had raised $1 for him, he could still use that sentence.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to make a point of this because, you know, there were people criticizing Bill Nye for getting involved in that, knowing that it was just a big fundraising thing for this idiot. Well, I mean, you can't stop people raising money from all kinds of stupid ways.
Yeah.
And it's true. It hadn't have been Bill Nye, it might have been somebody less good at it.
But, I mean, that aside, and I'm not saying that Bill Nye shouldn't have done this debate or anything like that, but I think that people who get involved in debates would be well advised to get tougher about negotiating who benefits from it. Because as far as I heard,
that is a fair thing to
Answers
say.
In Genesis got to rake in pretty much all the ticket sales from that event. And I just, I mean, you know, publicity is nice, Bill Nye, but, you know, there's a lot of money that could be diverted to useful science stuff, let's say.
Right.
Nye said he was heartbroken and sickened for the Commonwealth of Kentucky after learning that the project would move forward. He said the Ark would eventually draw more attention to the beliefs of Ham's ministry, which preaches the Bible's creation story as a true account. And as a result, voters and taxpayers in Kentucky will eventually see that this is not in their best interest. That's not a reason to be heartbroken.
I hope so.
But it is an awful waste of
resources. It's a waste of
resources. So, that happened.
Yeah. Sigh.
Sigh.
Did you have more?
Yeah, well, do you want to take a turn with the mail? Or?
No, I really need to...
You need to space this out.
I need to do
out.
Several. Yeah.
It was actually a pretty light news week, so we're going to have to drag some stuff out.
Okay.
You just do one more, and I'll...
Yeah.
I have some more.
Actually, I've got... multiple things on this one, so maybe I should start with something else somebody gave me. Let's see. Well, we got a mention of the Pope, although this story is not directly about the Pope. In The Guardian, three priests and an ex-priest whose allegations of sexual misconduct against the Archbishop of St. Andrews in Edinburgh, Cardinal Keith O'Brien, led to his resignation a year ago, have appealed directly to Pope Francis for a meeting in a last-ditch bid for justice. Describing the church as a formidable machine that had blocked any investigation, one told the Observer, "The abuse we received at the hands of Keith O'Brien is dwarfed by the systematic abuse we have received from church officials. Mm-hmm. They've passed the buck, misrepresented the truth, engaged in cover-up, and, having asked for our trust and cooperation, shamelessly procrastinated and hidden behind a veneer of diplomacy and charm. I want to ask Pope Francis, can you sort this out?"
What are you looking at me for?
I don't know. I thought you might have a comment.
No.
Secret negotiations have been going on between the men and the cardinal's successor, Archbishop Leo Cushley, since last November. The archbishop insists that only Rome can initiate an inquiry into O'Brien's sexual behavior, but he has agreed to an investigation of the cardinal's financial transactions. In an email to the complainants last December, the Archbishop's Vicar General, Philip Kerr, confirmed the Archdiocesan auditors have been asked to examine the financial accounts which Keith O'Brien personally operated. Anyway.
Wouldn't the police also be interested in this?
No, of course not, because it's an internal church matter. And they're
screw
subject
that.
To
no,
God's
it's
law.
Not. There's laws in this.
I mean, the thing is, when Vatican officials are questioned by other world leaders about what they think they're doing by not turning this stuff over to the police, they're like, we know nothing about this. We're not stonewalling or anything.
Right.
And we can't do anything because we have to wait for the Vatican to tell us to do something.
Right.
You guys remember we did the story about are we done?
Yeah.
On this one?
Wow.
Remember we did the story about the snake handling thing?
Yeah.
Yes, right? We did.
TV show, snake handler, bite,
right.
Dead.
Yeah.
Yep. Right? Ha ha.
No, too soon.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Okay, now.
Ha ha.
Some Schadenfreude.
We asked whether people, you know, knew anything about just what exactly is the danger entailed in handling snakes as these folks do.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we have an answer.
Oh.
Ooh.
Here's the answer.
Good. A definitive answer, I hope.
Yeah. We have a definitive answer. I'm no expert, but I believe that...
That doesn't sound very definitive at all.
Hang on. I'm no expert, but I believe that the pastors of the churches have safe handling practices taught to them by their fathers, as most of these churches' leadership is passed from father to son. So they know which snakes are more docile in the service. The services themselves also play a part in keeping the snakes passive. Loud and rhythmic music, lots of warm bodies, and possibly the smells of noxious poisons in the air confuse the snakes and make them more apt to try to run rather than fight. Says Chris in Fort Worth.
That's a lot of speculating
for
a guy who's no
possible.
That's our answer.
I guess that puts that to bed. I'm sure that we can move on. What?
Yeah, you got another news item? Go on.
Another?
Yeah, no. Yeah, go on with the next news item.
Go on with the next new
item. Yeah, we got our answer. Let's move on.
Oh, okay.
What the hell?
We got some good news. Arizona Governor Jan Brewer vetoes controversial anti-gay bill SB 1062. Now this is slightly old news, but we are a show that runs every 2 weeks, and so we're entitled to talk about old stuff. Thanks. Plus, the shows don't seem to be getting posted for about a week.
Did she veto it with extreme prejudice?
The opposite, actually.
Yes.
Hey-o. Arizona Governor Jan Brewer vetoed a bill Wednesday, and this was posted February 26th, that would have allowed businesses that asserted their religious beliefs the right to deny service to gay and lesbian customers.
Uh-huh.
The controversial measure faced a surge of opposition in recent days from large corporations and athletic organizations, including Delta Airlines, the Super Bowl host committee, and Major League Baseball. On a side note, the reason the Super Bowl host committee would care about this was because there were other incidents of Arizona doing some dumb stuff in the past, which resulted in the Super Bowl, which had been going to Arizona then, being yanked from it back then. So this is not the first time that Arizonans are idiots. And sorry, Arizona, but we pick on all the other states.
Not all of you, right? Just your elected representatives.
Yeah. And
those of you that that elected them.
Yes. Right.
Most of your representatives, by a fairly large margin.
Do you think this is any indication of what might happen with the Hobby Lobby case before the Supreme Court?
Which is to be heard
later this month. Isn't it roughly the same kind of thing? They want to say that a business has religious freedom.
Right.
Yeah, they're trying to deny birth control.
It's a different thing they want to do with the religious freedom that they're claiming to have.
Right.
Right. Businesses in the before the Supreme Court.
It's the same old thing, separate water fountains.
Well, but this isn't precedent because this is just internal state politics.
But I think we accept that the Supreme Court there is some impact of public opinion on the way that they will rule.
Maybe.
Some impact. Mm-hmm. The outcry against giving businesses religious freedom to use to systematically turn away people of entire classes that they religiously oppose was pretty amazing.
In this
case. And at the very least, I would think we'll see the exact same thing if the Supreme Court were foolish enough to say, why, yes, Hobby Lobby, Inc., you do have religious freedom.
Right. Well, if there's one thing that we know about conservatives, it's – I mean about religious right conservatives, it is that when they have it in their heads that their religion demands a certain sort of legislation to be passed, they don't just stop at one. Like, you know,
for decades and decades,
we've had these creationism in school ideas popping up, getting slapped down over and over again.
And again and again.
It is true. They don't take no for an answer.
Mm-mm.
I think eventually they take no, 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 no for an answer. Eventually.
But
this is in this way, religion becomes, you know, civilized over time.
From what I've heard, there is another such bill, and I don't think we've stated what this bill would have done.
Oh, go ahead.
But what it would have done was basically, some people have called this the gay Jim Crow laws.
Right. This is the Arizona one. Right.
Right. The Arizona one said any restaurant can say, well, you look gay, I won't serve you.
Right.
Yeah, and they call this religious freedom.
Our friend Pat Robertson responded to the governor vetoing this bill by – or was it before the veto? I don't know. But talking about the law, brought up the soup Nazi from Seinfeld.
Yes.
Did you hear this?
No.
No.
That's good.
Are you familiar with the segment?
Yes.
I wasn't myself, but I went and watched videos on YouTube to familiarize myself.
The famous character.
The soup Nazi,
okay.
Yes.
So Pat
no
Robertson's,
soup for you.
Pat Robertson's right. point was, well, he was allowed to sell soup to whoever he wanted, or deny soup to whoever he wanted, which is true, but that's on a case-by-case basis, right? That is not an example of bigotry. That's an example of just being a rude asshole. Bigotry is when you take an entire class of people and say anybody that falls into that class is somebody you're not going to serve. That's the difference.
Right.
Right. And the soup Nazi was not there to be loved.
Which is another thing.
Yes.
Think. I see, Pat Robertson. So you would like all businesses to be like
soup the soup Nazi. Awesome. What a great culture we would have. Yes. Thank you.
No, in fact, he's to the extent that the soup Nazi was exercising his freedom not to serve who he didn't feel like, you do have that right.
Yeah.
Right? That is true. Businesses aren't forced to serve everyone. They aren't. They can protect themselves by, you know, like telling a disruptive customer to leave the store, for example.
Right.
They can do stuff like that. But it's not bigotry as long as they're not doing it to, like, everybody in a particular class.
Sure. So there were laws in Georgia and Mississippi that were exactly like this being pushed through legislation. But the good news is now, according to Huffington Post, seeing the result of that veto, in Georgia, the Preservation of Religious Freedom Act has been tabled as of February 27th and doesn't appear to be going anywhere. In Mississippi, the State House Judiciary B Committee discussed the Religious Freedom Restoration Act and is considering rewording the bill to address concerns that it would discriminate against LGBT. So it sounds like they're still going ahead with it, but they're going to write in some language saying this isn't really anti-gay at all. So
how would that happen? How can you reformulate the freedom to deny service to members of entire classes of people that are prohibited by your religion and make it not be, you know, bigotry against those people?
Well, what they're going to say is this isn't about gay people personally. It's about anyone that people's religious conscience won't let them serve. If that happens to be gay,
that's
whatever.
Did the Arizona law specifically mention gays?
I think it did, but I'm not sure.
But as more than just as an example,
I can hunt for that.
I know a lot of people's objection, an objection a lot of people raised to it was that it could be used, you know, by white supremacists to deny service to black people.
Oh, sure.
By Muslims to deny service to non-Muslims. Mm-hmm. So if that is how it was written, then it already allowed people to just broadly deny service to anyone that their religion or religious views told them to be against.
Yeah.
So how do you what do they think they're going to write?
I don't know. Our
newly written religious freedom bill is going to allow people to coldly stare at and not exchange any words with customers with whom their religion tells them they should disapprove.
Hmm. Yep.
But they still have to serve them.
Here's
that
what
might work.
Jan Brewer said while she vetoed it, and bear in mind that this is an Arizona Republican talking.
Right.
Senate
Bill 1062 has the potential to create more problems than it purports to solve. It does not address a specific or present concern related to religious liberty in Arizona. I have not heard one example where business owners' religious liberty has been violated.
Well, wow. That last one was really reasonable and to the point.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, good for her. I'm glad that she actually pointed out some of the really serious problems with that bill.
There's a theory, though, that it was due to pressure from the business community.
Sure.
Absolutely.
Right. But she could have succumbed to that pressure and said nothing.
Right.
And just vetoed
it. The statement was good.
And not said anything about any of the actual valid concerns against it that she did.
It was.
It's a point in her favor.
That it's just horribly despicable.
Yeah.
But Pat Robertson was not the only one to react negatively to this news.
Really?
Daily Kos has collected a bunch of tweets from right-wing leaders. I'll just read a few, and you can look it up under Daily Kos. Wingnuts going crazy over Jan Brewer's veto.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
Pat Buchanan.
Wingnuts gone wild.
That's right.
How freedom dies. Hashtag diversity. Hashtag multiculturalism.
Wow. But this was who?
Pat Buchanan.
Pat Buchanan.
Yeah, not a surprise from that jerk.
Yeah.
Ben Shapiro, who's like the lead editor over at Breitbart.com now that that guy died.
Mm-hmm. Now is
too soon?
Pat Buchanan, his family came from where? Europe?
He's Irish,
US?
I think.
Yeah, yeah. We don't serve the Irish here.
Well, now we do because they've been in long enough that they can discriminate against other people. Ben Shapiro says, not sure what the GOP stands for when it stands against religious freedom out of pure fear of political correctness. Rich Lowry, I believe, is the chief editor of the National Review, says, Brewer veto shows that poorly informed hysteria works.
The existence of all of these religiously backed bigotries shows that poorly informed hysteria works.
Right. Man.
Wow.
Yes. We're getting to names I don't know, so I won't go for much longer.
All right.
John Nolte says,
I've got more.
CNN led full court media press to take away rights of Christians. Just the beginning, using tolerance as a weapon against us. Wake up!
We're so persecuted.
CNN?
Give me my fainting couch.
Why is it MSNBC? Their favorite target.
They like going after CNN because CNN is middle of the road enough that pushing against CNN shifts the window of discussion. Going after MSNBC would only inflame people who already hate MSNBC, I think.
Right.
Yeah, more?
Good.
Nobody I recognize.
More than you want to do.
So, no.
All right.
It's the end of the world.
All right. Well, remember we did a story about snake handlers?
Yeah.
Right? Snake handler.
I think I remember public that. Have we talked about that lately?
TV show, snake handler, bite, dead.
We
asked our listeners for information on how the whole snake handling things works. Well, we have an answer.
Oh,
okay, cool.
Good. This must be the definitive answer.
We have a definitive answer.
Good. All right. Good.
I used to work at an exotic pet store. They eventually get accustomed to being handled. The hood behavior is a defense mechanism, and when they feel comfortable with being handled, they don't really feel the need to hood anymore.
Holy crap, he's talking about cobras?
These religious...
Oh, this guy sounds really knowledgeable about snakes.
These religious snake handler people handle captive animals kept long-term, so even though they have their venom, they are still less dangerous than if these snakes were freshly taken out of the wild. They are doing dangerous things with the snakes, but the snakes have become at least somewhat accustomed to the handling, says our friend Bill. So
there you have it.
The reason why they can get away with handling these snakes and not die as often as you might think.
Well, that seems even more plausible.
I understand. So there are no special techniques needed. The snakes just usually don't bite, and when they do, it's not an especially venomous bite because they feel so safe.
Right. That is the answer.
Okay. Oh, good. All right. Glad we cleared that up.
I have you have more news? I'd like you to do another news.
We're burning through it pretty fast.
Well, we could do – I have another thing. I have a much, much longer thing, but I don't know if I want to do that right yet.
I have a personal matter I can mention.
Do you have a personal matter you can mention?
Yes, I do.
Go ahead.
Yes, recently, last week, lost a friend of 30 years.
Oh.
Aaron Alston, who was a Star Wars author and game designer, passed away going to a convention. And thinking back on it, on all the hell we went through when we first heard about this, the shock and sorrow, at no point was God ever brought up or even thought of. So, yeah, no. According to theists who say that, no, we secretly believe in God, no.
Right.
Sorry.
And who desperately hope that when some tragic incident like this mm-hmm. happens, it will drive you into that kind of belief.
Not even an issue. Yeah, so they can go – well, this is supposed to be a positive show.
who says? I knew Aaron myself, not as well mm-hmm. as I would have liked in retrospect, but a great guy who I enjoy talking to every time we cross paths.
Mm-hmm.
And that's tragic. That's death sucks, man. I'm
yes,
against
it's
it.
A terrible waste.
I'm against it. That's why I'm transhumanist.
Yep.
He
died of a heart attack, and now I see in the news there's this experimental thing now that they can put on a heart that will apparently, if I read the story correctly, prevent heart attacks completely.
Hmm. And when will these be available to the general public?
Don't know, but sign me up.
Well, I'm sorry about your loss.
Yeah.
I never met Aaron, but he sounds like a great guy.
He was a cool guy.
Well, thank you for sharing that, Dennis.
Okay.
Yep.
I know. Your whole household over there is mm-hmm. Not like dripping with atheism from every pore, but you're a bunch of people who have no use for the whole religion thing.
Right. We have varying degrees of tolerance of religion, but, you know, it's like, yeah, we're none of us are staunch believers or anything like that. So.
Yeah.
Aaron was certainly not.
That's right. He and I exchanged amusing quips about religion mm-hmm. on several occasions, as I recall. Russell, let's do one more thing. Just the timing will work out better if we do that.
All right. let's see. So on Tuesday, and again, this story is from February 25th, so this is a couple of weeks old.
Sure, sure.
But on Tuesday, an atheist advocacy group heralded its participation in Conservative Super Gathering, CPAC, in March. Only to be booted hours later after howls from conservative Christians and a taunt from the atheist group's president that the Christian right should be threatened by us. That's yeah. our good friend Dave Silverman, who okay. is always soft-spoken and diplomatic.
Uh-huh.
The episode was a perhaps overly dramatic episode over a conference booth, but it reignited continuing tensions among conservatives over how to court a growing cohort of non-religious Americans and navigate changing views on social issues.
Yes, and the answer is do not court them.
Yeah, well... I'm really disappointed, but I'm not at all surprised, said David Silverman, president of American Atheists. We were going to CPAC specifically to combat the notion that one must be Christian in order to be conservative. We wanted to bring that to the forefront. But conference organizers said that while they were open to the group, Silverman's comments went too far. CPAC spokesperson Megan Snyder and said Silverman's group misrepresented itself about their willingness to engage in positive dialogue and work together to promote limited government in an email to the Washington Post. And I don't have the comment here, but Dave Silverman made a delightful comment about the fact that they were going after him for tone on that while also having people like Rush Limbaugh and Ann Coulter
right.
in attendance.
Sure.
Yes.
I'm unclear. Why did these atheists want to be at this conference?
Well,
at this thing?
I mean, I could answer that without actually consulting them, because although I'm a liberal and everyone at this table is pretty liberal, I think it's fair to say that given that Republicans are not permanently out of
yeah.
power, it would be nice if they weren't a party hell-bent on completely demolishing the wall of separation between church and state. We know conservative atheists. We get email from them sometimes.
Mm-hmm. We got one since the last show. A guy sent us an article
yes.
on the topic atheism and political conservatism are not incompatible or something to that effect. And
well, duh.
I declined to bring that because I don't know of anybody that says that they are inherently compatible. Nobody that I'm aware of thinks that the current death grip in which the religious right holds the, say, Republican Party is because conservatism by Republicans is inextricably linked with extreme religious fanaticism. Nobody thinks that.
Right.
Right.
It's not inherent. It's just the current state of affairs.
Yeah,
I mean, there have been
pretty
times,
circumstantially linked.
There have been times when Democrats were there have been times when Democrats were extremely mm-hmm. dominated by strong religious views. In fact, they still are mostly. I mean, the Democratic Party is still not an overtly atheist party.
Oh gosh, there isn't one.
But so I don't understand the point of the article that we were sent. I mean, it's denying a claim that I've never even heard before.
Yeah. Although, I mean, in light of this recent news, while atheism and conservatism aren't compatible, I think this is just one more data point in the fact that that a lot of the majority of mainstream conservatives who are running things are very hostile to atheism.
Right. If there's anybody who needs to read yeah. an article like that, it's not us. It's those conservatives that are currently running the Republican Party.
Damn right. Right.
And yet, strangely enough, the Christians are all persecuted by the government.
Yeah.
Aw.
It's so strange. With nothing but religionists in power, somehow they're being persecuted. With nothing but Christians in power.
Yeah, amazing.
Somehow.
So the upshot of that is this thing is going to go forward and there's going to be no atheist in it, or do they do it already?
Oh, I mean, it always goes forward. This is like one of the biggest – this is like, conservative Mardi Gras.
Have there been
– God, no.
Thank you for that image.
Oh, there's
– Rush Limbaugh is showing his tits for beads. My friends, here they are.
All right. So you might recall that recently we did a story about snake handling.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Where there was
a TV show.
Guy got bit.
A guy got bit and died on this TV show about snake hunters.
That's too bad.
And, you know, we didn't know what it could possibly explain how these people are able to
right. –
these untrained yokels are able to handle snakes and not die in vast droves all the time.
Why don't people get bit more often?
We asked people in our audience because we weren't sure. We thought, you know, maybe they're just trained in safe snake handling practices by their fathers.
Could be.
Maybe the services themselves, the loud and rhythmic music, all the warm bodies, the noxious poisons in the air.
Maybe
that explained it.
It
occurred to me that maybe that the religious snake handlers are handling captive animals that because they've been kept long term,
they get tame.
Yeah, they get tame and aren't used.
Yeah.
But we have our answer.
Oh, good.
Okay.
The snakes are underfed, starving. They can't produce effective venom. Also, younger snakes are more deadly because they don't know enough to save their venom for prey that they can eat. Older snakes, especially snakes that have been handled already, know that their handler isn't prey and don't waste venom. They can bite without injecting venom, says Michael, a.k.a. Evil Eye.
That sounds pretty definitive.
Now we know the answer to the question. That we asked in our last episode.
Well, what's curious is that each one tends to have a germ of truth in
You're
it.
You're not playing along. I'm pretending.
The stuff that sounds really...
You're not playing along.
No, I'm not.
I'm sorry. I'm pretending.
We now have the answer.
Each of the three answers it was in a vacuum. Then they were all right at that moment.
It's like Schrodinger's snake safety.
Yes.
Actually, I think Matt responded to some other people who also sent us their views with some inside information that he had. And why those people have been informed.
Is that the definitive answer?
I don't know. I don't know because I don't know. All right.
So I'm running out of little stuff.
Well,
I got
something.
Some big stuff.
I got
your turn. Please continue.
So Pope Francis is in the news again.
Oh, no.
Francis the Talking Pope.
Yes.
Took a shot at his own popularity on Wednesday, saying...
Is he the insult comic Pope?
I think that was the last one.
That would be awesome.
Those are some very nice Jews for me to poop on.
Oh, man, you went there. Let me start again. Pope Francis, that's the current one.
Yeah.
The Argentinian one, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Took a shot at his own popularity Wednesday, saying the tendency to paint the Pope as some sort of Superman, a star, is offensive.
Well, it would take a lot of blue and red and yellow paint.
Well, he said a sort of a Superman, right?
Okay.
Superman
Captain Marvel is sort of a Superman.
Yeah. Superman didn't come out looking so good in the last movie. He leveled some cities and stuff.
And he killed that one guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As long as I get sidetracked on that. In a wide-ranging interview with an Italian newspaper, the Pope knocked down Francis Mania.
I was unaware of Francis Mania.
Yes, you were. We've been talking about nothing but Francis Mania with relationship to this Pope.
Well, I guess.
Since we started talking about him, right? The way that the news media has been falling all over itself to spin every frickin' word that came out of this guy's mouth.
And even people who should know better.
And totally people who should know better, who read the context of what he said and just picked out the bits that sounded good out of context.
I just have never heard the phrase Francis Mania.
Oh, yeah. Francis Mania. He addressed more serious issues facing the Catholic Church, including the child abuse scandal and women's place in the clergy. This is brilliant. Because I think we did report either last episode or before that suddenly, after about a year of having this guy in office – some news media are starting to run stories that are reading the actual lines, not between the lines, not just bits of the lines, but the entire lines in context.
Right. And they're going, hey,
hey, Wait a minute. And like paying attention to things like his track record,
mm-hmm.
saying that was a gay marriage is a plot from Satan and stuff like that, right? So this is freaking brilliant.
Right.
The Pope's PR people, realizing the jig is up, have decided now what you do, Mr. Pope, is you do a 180 and you say, oh, no, that was always wrong. We didn't set up that photo op where I kissed that man with boils. We didn't set up that situation where we let the little boy loose to, like, tug on my robes and stuff, and I make a big show of not paying any attention to him and not telling anybody to shoo him away. We didn't make up that story about me sneaking out of the Vatican and tending to the poor all by my lonesome in the middle of the night. I'm not doing the voice right.
No, you're not. You're doing a strange mother voice.
We didn't make any of that. I'm not going to do it. That wasn't us. That was all you people. He says, Francis rejects ideological interpretations, the myth behind Pope Francis. I like being among people and those with those who suffer, to go to parishes. But when some, for instance, say that I go out at night to feed the homeless, that never crossed my mind. He's actually directly denied that one.
Right.
Well, that sounds awfully nice cool. and humble and modest of him.
Yeah. How convenient, right? Because if they stuck to the line, how would he look now?
Right.
Where's that voice? That's Antony. To paint the Pope as some sort of Superman, a star, is offensive, Francis continued. The Pope is a man who laughs, cries, sleeps calmly, and has friends like as everyone else, a normal person.
Except he farts rainbows. He is the Pope.
I'm going to make a little note here.
Rainbows.
So he's just a mild-mannered Pope.
Right. How convenient. How uh-huh. convenient that all of a sudden, the minute the media starts catching on, now, his organization was never behind any of that. They never took advantage of those misinterpretations. Never encouraged Mm-mm. any of that kind of media
now
reaction.
I can be all modest.
Sure.
Right. Right.
And humble.
But.
Well, great.
But?
What's that? What's happening?
Who's that man in that white leotard with that long white cape and a giant letter P on his chest?
That's pretty God, stylish.
It's the Pope.
It is a super Pope.
Super Pope.
All right.
Thank goodness you're here.
Hello, I heard with my super hearing, I heard that you were talking about me.
Well, it seems a lot of people are talking about you these days. Uh-huh. Except I heard that you weren't actually Superman. You're just a regular Pope doing Popey stuff.
No, the regular Pope is the regular Pope. I am not him. I am Super Pope.
Isn't he your secret identity?
You look a little like him.
No, do not be fooled by my stupid posture and my baldness. Pope Francis, he wears the glasses. I am the one who does not wear the glasses.
Oh, yeah, you guys.
That's totally different.
You guys don't look anything alike.
Correct. And I, as I say, I heard you talking about me once again with my super hearing, and so I decided to pay you a little visit instead of calling you on the telephone.
We're honored.
I'm pleased to actually see you in person.
That Pope Francis is a very nice man, but he is just a regular man. He likes being among people, those who suffer, who had to go to parishes. When people say that he went out at night to feed the homeless, that never crossed his mind, but that was me.
What do you do? Do you fight for truth, justice, and the Vatican way?
I fight for Catholic dogma.
That's pretty awesome.
That's different.
That is a truth and a justice. It's the same thing. It's a synonym, they say. Papa Francis, he is just a regular man. Mm. He doesn't even have a superhero name.
But you have the power to bring child abusers to justice.
As I said, the regular Pope Francis, he's not even have a super name. Some people refer to him as the Talking Pope. Francis the Talking Pope is a very amusing, but you can't get a place on the Eternal Justice League with a funny name.
There's an Eternal Justice League?
Yes, I am a member of the Eternal Justice League. We operate from our orbital platform. It's me and Krishna, Odin.
But wow. You mean they're all true?
They are all different beliefs that can be, if you're very careful, you can turn them into Catholicism.
Wow.
All right.
Pope Francis is also known as a Pope in the Boots. As you recall. So that is why he can be found sometimes at all hours of the night prancing around the Vatican with his little booties on and waving a fencing foil. He's please, very good.
Please tell me he wears again, more than just the boots.
Oh, yes. Yes, of course.
Thank goodness.
Well, you're a sick man. You're a sick man.
So can you tell us, what's your kryptonite? Or is that a secret?
No, I did not have a kryptonite.
You're just invincible, huh?
You wish to know my superpowers.
I
my
do.
Superpowers. I can fly.
You could fly, yeah.
I can fly. I could demonstrate.
Can you turn invisible?
If you wish. I do not turn invisible. What I can do is
think that would be
I can. I have the power. I can release pedophiles back into the general population without informing the police of my information about them, and to come out smelling like a rose. That is what I can do.
Wow.
In
it is a
very
form of
specific circumstances, that's quite powerful.
It is a form of super public relations. Also, some people say I fart rainbows.
I've heard that, yes.
Yes, I've heard
and
that.
These are the sorts of powers, these larger than life superpowers are what you need to get into the Eternal Justice League. We have had the previous popes. One had the Pope of Mobile. Very nice, you know, not very sporty, but bulletproof glass kind of a superpower. Still not really Eternal Justice League material. There was a pope back in the past who had a little Jewish boy that he made his sidekick.
Well,
but the sidekick is not enough.
Not enough. Do you have an arch nemesis?
Do I have an arch nemesis? My arch nemesis is anything that opposes the dogma of the Catholic Church.
Are there any Muslims on the, what was it, Eternal Justice League?
There's a Muhammad. Muhammad, he's got his, he's a flying weird thing that he rides around on. It's kind of a horse, but not quite.
You know, it's weird knowing that there are two popes now, because I've never seen like a photo opportunity between both of you.
But I hear a crime happening.
Yes.
And therefore I shall pray for the souls for those involved. What was you saying?
I forgot.
Aren't you going to save those people?
If they have given their souls to Jesus Christ, then they are already saved. In the Eternal Justice League, we have a Krishna. Krishna who goes about killing Hindus who have been bad in their life to cause them to have a reincarnation at a lower level where they would be punished for their misdeeds. But he has to be very careful not to kill them in a way that causes suffering, for that would give them a better life in their next incarnation if they suffered too much. It's a very difficult job being Krishna. Odin with his Valhalla, if you do not die gloriously in battle, then you do not get to go to Valhalla.
Mm-hmm.
He has teamed up with Hel. That's H-E, one toothpick, Hel. And she runs the place you go if you don't get to go to Valhalla. They're kind of a mom-and-pop operation. I have lost track of what I was saying. Anyway,
what were you saying?
The point of this is I have nothing to do with Pope Francis. All of this stuff you have heard about how Pope Francis is a larger than life figure. Mm-hmm. That he farts rainbows. It's not. It is not true. He farts normal gases and picks normal boogers out of his nose, not the golden boogers, as I do. So now that we have that,
the rumors now that are we all have true, that just about the wrong guy.
That is correct.
That's fascinating.
Glasses, Pope Francis.
Right.
No glasses. That is me, the super pope.
Wow, I can't believe I mixed you two up.
Well, thank you for setting us straight.
All right. Well, I am going to depart now and return to my duties, telling people that if they do not, that it is all their fault, and if they do not sign up, then they'll be tortured forever. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
See you later.
Look, a rainbow.
Who was that masked man?
That was Pope Francis.
I think you mean Super Pope. Pope nope. Francis wasn't here at all.
No, no. It's that was Pope super Francis. Pope.
All right. Well, that was that was exciting.
Should we shorten it to Spope? I don't know.
Wow.
Huh.
Well, thank you for putting up with that, guys.
You're welcome.
So, what's next?
So
you said you have big news, right?
I mean, it's Ooh. Not that big. But
it's just the All end right. of the world.
Also, I don't go out helping poor children. So people who were listening to that other Austin Atheist show this week, The Atheist Experience.
Oh yeah, that one. That's a good
might
show.
Have heard Tracy Harris talking about this Islam 101 thing that.
Oh yeah, this
that
thing
we all went to.
Yeah,
no, we didn't all. We didn't all. I didn't know.
Not you. I'm using we to or encompass it, people who are not in this room
it,
right now.
Or was it the Jeff D with glasses?
Hard to tell.
Yeah, I never see that guy around when we're doing the show.
That's right. It's weird.
Go on.
But it was me and Tracy and Beth Presswood and Ben Weaver, who is currently apprenticing to be one of our engineers.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. He's in the building right now. We received an invitation. I think Beth passed it on to the rest of us that the NAMCC, and I forget what that stands for, but it's a Muslim community center.
Oh, okay.
North Austin sure. Muslim community center.
NAMCC Hammer.
Yeah. Well, we didn't get any Muslim rap, but we did get some Muslim country music.
Oh my
wow.
God.
That's
mind-bending to think
in
about.
In my country there is problem, and the problem is the Jews.
That, like that one?
No. Okay. I'm going to give these guys a fair shake okay. here. There okay. were some things that they said which I thought they were kind of lame. But I am not one of those Pat Condell types who says that all Muslims are terrorists uh-huh. and hell-bent on destroying the universe and,
yeah,
and
no,
Islam is inherently evil.
Nor am I. I have a very nice email exchange with a guy from a liberal Muslim organization in New York City several mm-hmm. years ago, shortly after the 9/11 thing. I sent them an email saying, hey, you know, clue me in so it can make it easier for me to tell the difference, right?
Yeah.
And apart from the fact that I think Islam is fundamentally just exactly as stupid as Christianity,
yes.
apart from that, no, there's nothing wrong with those people.
Yeah, I mean, Islam is, when you come right down to it, just another set of ridiculous, nonsensical beliefs.
Right.
Much like during the election last year, people were writing to us saying, hey, the worst thing about Mitt Romney is that he believes that, you know, he's going to get his own planet when they die.
Yep.
That's not the problem with Mitt Romney from my perspective, because Mitt Romney believes a ridiculous, dumb set of stuff that goes under the heading of Mormonism. And Christians believe another dumb set of stuff, and Muslims believe another dumb set of
well,
stuff.
Well, it's all more complicated than this because, you know, core religious teachings that even liberal believers base their beliefs on contain some really vile mm-hmm. stuff. Now, they happily
– In Islam.
in Islam or Christianity,
or
Mormonism, sure. Right? So the liberal people are make a practice of hand waving or reinterpreting or just ignoring that stuff, which is itself problematic. And when you're dealing with a person who you know is going to take teachings they claim are so hugely important and mm-hmm. play fast and loose with them like that,
yeah.
that is a thing to be concerned about.
Absolutely.
And if you have a guy who is able to be convinced by anything that he has his own planet, right? That is a thing to be concerned about.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I would agree, with what you're saying in general, which is that those things are not necessarily the immediate upfront concern that you, where you know for sure, hey, this guy is actually gonna do something that we know is dangerous and bad. And
yeah, but if he, you know, became president, he'd have his finger on the button and he thinks he has that a spare planet.
Absolutely right.
Yeah, but George Bush believed that the end times were coming anytime now.
And,
so it didn't matter. So
I agree with everything you just said. And I think that, you know, the information we have on Mitt Romney's attitude toward poor people
yeah.
is an established fact.
Yes.
We know for sure what he said he thought
– and dogs.
What he did with regard to dogs and said with regard to poor people and what that entails, mm-hmm. right? Whereas – that he would be more likely to press the button because he believes he has a special extra planet of his own is a bit of an extrapolation.
Yes, yes. Right? A bit of hyperbole.
So I would put the thing we know for sure higher than the thing that's true. But I'm not at all denying that the extrapolation stuff is not valid at all. That's totally,
possibly terrifying.
Totally worth being concerned about.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay, go ahead.
Similarly, you know, these guys
where were we?
In at the NAMCC
yeah.
who were teaching Islam 101. Uh-huh. We had an imam teach us for most of the time whose name was Islam.
Okay. His name was Islam. That was an imam, anything like an imam?
I'm sorry. Are you sure?
New from Apple, yeah.
I'm making a joke.
I got it. It's the new iMom.
Go on. This is, by the way, for those of you out there who are keeping score, this is one of those rare occasions where we're going to do a reasonably big segment on Islam.
Yeah.
Because Russell learned something about it. Go on.
Yeah, a little bit. I'm not going to say I'm an expert from this. 6 hours I sat in that thing.
Oh, my
God. Wow. How could you?
Well, I don't think I would have been able to do it without my friends there.
Right.
To at least, we weren't rude. We did cast funny glances at each other from time to time. And
well,
we did raise our hands and ask quite a few questions.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
but I would say these Western Muslims – were coming to grips with the fact that, you know, they're in a non-majority position. They're very unpopular, and there are a lot of like misconceptions and overgeneralizations that they have to deal with.
They are actually being persecuted.
Yeah, in some ways.
In some way.
And they assure me that they don't want to blow anyone up, and I believe them.
Okay.
These particular Muslims, I believe, this temple was primarily directed at Sunni Muslims, which is one mm-hmm. of the two strains that I am led to believe from reading background material tends to be the more liberal group.
Okay.
And that as opposed to Shia Muslims, who tend to be the more fundamentalist ones. And they did a lot of the same sort of liberal apologetics for their holy book that you would hear from Christians who were trying to hand wave away the mm-hmm. burn witches stuff. They're like, they were very good about acknowledging the kinds of things that people say about Muslims, about how, you know, they would pick this or that verse to say, you know, you shall not tolerate unbelievers, but then like, talk up context a whole lot and say, uh-huh. you know, well, really, you know, there are a lot of, you know, you know, what the Quran is really saying there is that if they won't let you practice your beliefs, then, you know, you've got to fight back. But look, there's this verse here that says you should sit down with these people and so
right.
on. So, you know, I don't deny the existence of that context, but I am saying, like you say about the Bible a lot, Jeff, that it is the Quran is going to be the big book of multiple choice.
Right.
It's going to have a lot of stuff to support whatever reading you really, really want to get out of it.
Which book is bigger?
Oh, the Quran's actually pretty small, I would say. I think it's bigger than the Book of Mormon, but it's the New Testament is fairly small if you put it by itself. It's much smaller than the Old Testament.
So if there's just a prize for page count, it'd be Bible in first place, Book of Mormon second place, and Quran third place?
Yeah, I think Quran would be smaller than Book of Mormon.
These are the kinds of deep, important questions.
That's right. Yeah. like the amount of material.
I flipped through this Quran, which was paperback and had some propaganda in the front.
Sure.
Unlike the Bible, doesn't distinguish its books by names. It just numbers them from like 1 to 130 or something like that. Right. And the ones in the front are really, really long, and the ones in the back are like a paragraph or two.
Huh.
So what I found most interesting about this presentation was when they talked about the experience of being of living as a Muslim and dealing with particular prejudice things and trying to get along with everybody. That's always what I find interesting about religions. What I find least interesting about religions is what specific things they believe about what angels look like.
Right.
And did they get into that?
They did a lot.
And the one scorpion. who's seen that video?
Sure.
I haven't.
Oh, there's a great, great, great video of a British guy responding to this Muslim talking about what happens to you after death.
Yes.
And there's all these horrible tortures, and that after all these incredible things, and he says, and the one, the scorpion. I don't know why I did Pope Pope Francis just then, but anyway,
got it.
You have to see the whole thing, but it's funny.
So,
Right.
Specific religious beliefs are kind of boring, and so are specific religious rituals. Like, you have to wash your hands in a certain way, and you have to wash them a certain number of times.
Right.
Oh, boy.
And they wanted to talk about that a lot. Because
is a religion invented by, you know, 80 people? I gotta wash my hands 6 times.
Yeah. So one thing that I found notable was that the schedule promised there would be lunch at 12 and it went on until about 12:20. And we were all kind of staring off at the kitchen at that point.
You're bitching about a 20-minute delay in their lunch out of a six-hour
presentation.
Well, that's pretty damn good.
Yeah, also as they got toward the end, I mean, they just kept piling on more stuff. And the beliefs and the practices were much more of it than the stuff that I would have liked to hear.
Yeah, that's not really the crucial stuff.
I mean, you know, I would not say that they were above hoping that this presentation would be so appealing to some people that they would be like, hey, these people are all right. I want to do this.
Wash my hands 6 times. Sign me up.
I think it's 3, but you have to wash other body parts at the same time, 3 times each.
Wow, that's going to get
not
complicated.
What you're thinking. Muslims, yes.
No, go on.
Muslims believe that Jesus was a prophet just like Muhammad, but kind of not as good as Muhammad. But, you know, somebody asked, you know, do you think the Bible is untrue? And he's like, well, you know, the Bible is divinely inspired, but it's got a lot of translation issues. And then You know, so everything that God said that made it to the Bible is true, but we don't know how much of that is. And by the way, Muslims emphatically believe that Jesus was not crucified at all, which makes it a little hard when that is a central point of Christianity and what Jesus was good for.
And let's see, Jehovah, Allah, they sound so much alike.
Oh, they're different languages. Uh-huh. They are just the word for God.
Okay. Why did they mention Sharia?
I think a questioner brought up Sharia.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. And
I'm pronouncing it wrong. Okay, I'm sorry.
I'm not. Well, you could be right, but I don't feel like they dwelled on that very much, but except to say that, you know, this is just. You know, I don't know.
They don't want to impose it on everyone.
To be honest, I was kind of nodding off by that point.
It's understandable.
There was also supposed to be a half-hour QA period, but they were so eager to cram in absolutely everything in their presentation that they just couldn't get to that.
They ate that
the
up.
End.
Right.
And nobody was eager to stay for another half hour after it ended.
I might ask a question that prompts them to talk for longer.
There were occasional questions during the 6 hours, but the official Q&A period never actually happened.
Yeah, we wrote questions on cards, and some were going to ask them live, and they just didn't take the questions. And I don't feel like they were avoiding the questions.
Right, right.
They just were over eager to talk about stuff we
didn't
care about.
Yeah.
I will say that the lunch was delicious.
Did you get any sense of what it is they actually get out of it?
Same thing Christians get out of it. They feel they're loving God. They feel like, you know, there's an all powerful sky pixie who runs everything and loves you personally.
And needs you to wash certain body parts three times every time.
The rituals help you get
in
the frame
of mind. How do you know
you've washed
it? Just this washing three times thing. I just want to be clear.
Yes, yes.
So do you wash your hands and then completely dry them and then wash them again? You start all the way over from scratch? Or is it just like or do you just rub the soap across your hands and rinse the soap off once and then do the soap a second time? And rinse them off a second time. See what I'm saying?
All right. Yeah.
Is it entirely separate washing acts in toto, or is it a sort of
do you really
series
want to hear
of,
this?
Just this one thing?
According to Wikipedia, this is called wudu.
I'm not even going to go there.
I'll say it is. Go on.
Wow.
You start by making niya, that's intention to perform wudu and cleanse yourself of impurities. You say bismillah, which is a prayer. You wash the right hand up to the wrist and between the fingers three times. Then you do the same with the left hand.
That's not answering my question.
What's that?
What do they mean, wash it three times?
Yeah.
Do you wash it and then dry it completely? And then
they didn't
in
go into
six
that
hours,
level of detail.
The six-hour discussion, they did not explain what they meant by that.
Jeff, they went into so much in those 6 hours. They did not need we did not need to sit through that much more detail.
All right.
Okay.
Then you rinse your mouth and spit out the water three times and rub your teeth with a miswak. And then you
What's a miswak?
Shut up.
What?
I don't
curious.
Know what a miswak is.
I'm trying to be respectful of their beliefs. What the hell's a miswak?
Then you put the water up your nose. I'm not picking this up.
What? At any point, you insert parts of your hands or your fingers into your mouth or nose.
Yes, but you put
water. After you've washed your hands. Okay, just saying.
I don't know.
Is the sign in a Muslim restroom must wash hands three times before returning to work?
Well, must wash each hand three times before returning to work.
And
stick it up your nose and your face.
And where does the magic underwear come in again?
Okay.
That would be Mitt Romney.
Yes.
Okay. I didn't know he was a Muslim.
Wow. Okay.
I'm sorry. Okay. I'm sorry. I ruined that whole
This
that
is
whole
the
thing.
Sunni version. Shia apparently do a different thing.
Wow.
And they also, like, once in their life, they're supposed to make a pilgrimage to Mecca, and the pilgrimage, like, used to happen on a specific day, but that was like an urban planning nightmare because you know how it is when you have a server where everybody hits it at once. Imagine that, only server capacity is bathrooms.
Right.
So they changed it so that it's once a month, and that kind of fixed things.
Wow.
There was a point that I kind of brought up on Facebook. Muslims and MRAs seem to have some very common cause. You know, Islam has a bit of a reputation for having a problem with women.
Oh, just a bit. A tiny, tiny
And of course,
bit.
This guy, being an apologist for Islam, wanted to talk a lot about how, women are very well treated in Islam, but they are kind of separate but equal in a way.
We keep them in very nice cages.
Yeah, we actually watched them pray,
bind
like all
their
the Muslims.
With very nice silken ropes.
And the women had got cordoned off into their own separate women's prayer area.
What about what were there women in your group?
The
visitors group.
Oh, like, and Beth and Tracy.
Yeah,
they didn't pray. We were just all invited to watch.
So they didn't divide up the watchers.
No, they didn't make everybody leave.
Okay.
And I mean, there were other Muslims sitting among us, men and women mixed. So it's not like these Muslims were completely segregated, but they just pray separately. Of course, they still do have separate roles.
Hold on. There were other Muslims amongst you?
Yeah.
To listen to 6 hours of what Sunni Islam
is like
all about?
Their regular church visit.
Yeah.
You know, this was just an extra long sermon, and some of them were supporting the imam by like jumping in and filling in stuff that he didn't say occasionally.
Okay. Wow.
Well, what? What's that face?
Yeah, I can see that.
I'm just trying to wrap my brain around what it was they were actually trying to accomplish.
Yeah, but the imam did blather some apologetics about how, you know, really there's nothing wrong with treating men and women differently because, you know, science says they have different
patterns. Oh, boy.
So I'll be writing more about this on the Atheist Experience blog, and so will Tracy.
That should be interesting.
Well, golly.
Wow, that took up a lot of time.
Distill 6 hours of...
Not quite enough time.
Oh, well,
we've got about 20 minutes to go.
If you don't have any other filler,
I have
a regular segment to do.
Everybody who didn't write in to praise you about this segment is dying to hear it this time.
Damn right. It's time for
Internet Apologists Say.
Too much reverb.
I just get a thrill every time that works.
It is pretty damn cool.
That's great.
So, of course, you know, having just sat in on this 6-hour Islam 101 and read through the propaganda in the beginning of my Quran, which I now own, I learned all about how the Quran predicts a lot of scientific miracles predates a lot of science and comes up with
did
stuff.
Did they bring any of this stuff up during the...
No, they
event.
Didn't.
Okay.
They didn't try to propagandize us
all
very
right.
hard.
All right, except for the crap about women's brain patterns, because...
Yeah, they said stuff like that.
Because if they didn't know about women's brain patterns back in Muhammad's time, then they couldn't have used that as a stupid pseudoscientific excuse to treat men and women differently. Mm-hmm. Which means they must have known about women's different brain patterns in Muhammad's time. See?
Science.
It's a miracle.
It's a miracle.
It's a science miracle.
Quite so.
Go ahead.
Now, this comes from whyislam.org, which I believe printed the Qurans and the pamphlets that we got. This is by a fellow named Gary Miller, which
doesn't
very Muslim.
Sound very Muslim, no.
The Quran is the last revealed word of God. It is a record of the exact words revealed by God to the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. By the way, he did that constantly.
Of course, yes.
Every time you mention a name, like, you know, even Moses, peace be upon him.
That is the most annoying thing, I have to say.
Yep.
I don't care how many times they wash their hands. If they can't get – if they have to, like, pad every paragraph out to, like, you know, 15 extra words.
Can't they just issue a blanket respect?
You know, in the Quran we got, I noticed that it just said PBUH.
Pabuh.
All over the place. Pabuh.
Yeah.
So it was revealed by God to Prophet Muhammad Pabuh through the angel Gabriel. It was then –
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
And is he establishing the accuracy of any of these claims? How?
He's not. He's just saying it.
Okay.
It's just true.
It's established by the existence of Catholicism, who also believes in Gabriel.
Yeah.
So I could write an article.
You will know that Gabriel told Muhammad this stuff when you hear the amazing foresightful statements they made about stuff they couldn't have known yet.
So I could write an article called This Amazing Empty Bottle of Ozarka Water and begin with a sentence, this empty bottle of Ozarka Water.
Peace be upon it.
to actually touch the lips of the Lord God himself.
Sure.
Okay.
It was then dictated to his companions who memorized it. And it was written down by scribes. The Quran is, in every detail, the unique and miraculous text which was revealed to Muhammad 14 centuries ago.
Unless someone in the chain got it wrong.
Translation. Assertion, 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 assertion.
Right.
Yeah, apparently this thing was preserved through oral tradition for quite a while, since they say he was illiterate.
It sounds like a great game of telephone.
Yeah. But they're absolutely confident.
Oh, of course they are. They got it right.
You know, and I get, how do they check?
Well, we go back to the videos.
Not one word of its 114 chapters has been changed over the centuries.
Assertion. This is going to be a really easy translation.
The Quran deals with all subjects which concern us as human beings, wisdom, doctrine, worship, and law, but its basic theme is the relationship between God and his creatures.
Nanotechnology?
That's totally in there, yeah.
Everything.
Okay, I wasn't sure whether the answer was going to be, yeah, it's totally in there, or that's not one of the things that concerns us as whatever he said he were, kind of creatures we were.
Yep.
Okay.
I'm skipping a couple paragraphs. The Prophet Muhammad was himself illiterate and was living among illiterate people. The Arabs at that time worshipped idols and believed in horoscope and magic and were superstitious. The Arabs very actively opposed the teachings advanced by the Prophet through his revelations.
Muhammad was ignorant and stupid and everybody hated him, and that's why it must be true.
Yeah.
Okay. Not that much different from many other holy books.
This suggests a much simpler source of all this stuff.
Yes?
Yeah.
So here are some of the amazing things in the Quran. I hope you're sitting down.
Oh, boy.
I see that you are.
Yep.
The creation of the universe from 2130. Do not the unbelievers see that the heavens and earth were joined together? Then we clove them asunder, and we made water from every living thing. Will they not then believe? Are you amazed?
I'm amazed. That must obviously refer to the Big Bang.
The Quran mentions the existence of a gaseous mass, which is unique and whose elements, although at first fused together, subsequently became separated.
But how they got water from all living things, I guess they drank a bunch and then issued water from all their living orifices.
Sounds like when they say water, they mean gas.
Oh, okay.
according to the people who are trying to fit this into stuff.
Retrofit.
Can I step back just a moment when he was talking about Muhammad and the Muslims of the time being all superstitious and stuff?
Yeah.
You know how some religious people will criticize atheism, saying that if you don't believe in something, you'll fall for anything?
Uh-huh.
It's always seemed to me that's complete bullshit.
Oh, of course.
That because and just this example, right? You have a world, a society in which people are wildly superstitious already about all kinds of crazy things. And in comes this new guy with a whole new crazy superstitious thing. And people fall for it. The fact that they already believed their own other superstitions, the astrology and whatever he idols and whatever else he listed in his little laundry list, right? Didn't protect them from falling for Islam.
Not a bit, apparently.
So that the – just – okay. Just want to comment on that. No, in fact, believing – willingness to believe nonsense makes you vulnerable to new nonsense.
Another nonsense. Yeah. Yep. Okay. I'm going to have to get moving because we're down to a few minutes.
All right.
But – okay. So this is a quote from Book 21, verse 30. Okay. And – this is about the origins of life, according to Gary.
Gary?
The author of this thing.
Yeah.
I thought Muhammad was the author.
Okay. According to this post.
You're going to read Gary's words, not Muhammad's words.
Right.
Okay,
well,
gotcha.
No, right here. These are Muhammad's words.
This is Gary quoting Muhammad?
This is Gary quoting Muhammad.
And we made from water every living thing. Will they not then believe? Now he says, the building blocks of all living things are called cells. They are the basic units of life. So you can see that they're
98% water. Right.
Yeah, well, so he says, well, protoplasm is made of about 80 to 85% water, and without water, life is not possible.
Right.
And I guess these illiterate Muslims couldn't have known without 20th century science that trying to get by without water is a problem.
I would think everybody would know we are ugly bags
and the
of mostly water.
Says, pardon me for being picky. The sentence does not say we made 85% of all living things from water.
Uh-huh.
It says we made living things from water. So where'd the other 15% come from?
Yeah.
If you took all the water out of a person, all the water in a person, and just put it in a bucket, it wouldn't be a living thing.
Well,
it doesn't work like that.
As bad as that is, it's better than the dust golems that Christianity has us be, you know.
Seems to me what you want to do is at least put that water in that dust. Then you got some kind of a mush. Maybe you could get some bacteria going in that. All right.
Yeah. So I guess one last one.
Okay.
Sure.
The developing human embryo.
Oh, no.
Statements referring to human reproduction and development, says Gary, are scattered throughout the Quran. It is only recently that the scientific meaning of some of these verses has been fully appreciated. The Quran determines that human development passes through stages. 39:6. Wow.
Yeah, who would have guessed?
The realization that the human embryo develops in stages was not discussed and illustrated until the 15th century. The Quran and Hadith also state that both parents share in the origins of the offspring. O mankind, we created you from male and female.
Oh, good grief.
Yeah, wow. What a surprise.
Which is also something that ignorant peasants out in the desert couldn't have known. That
no,
it takes
not
a guy
possibly.
And a girl.
No. It's
all right.
Yeah,
sorry, we're out of time. Whyislam.org, and the title of this is The Amazing Quran.
I'm going to make one more comment. Scientific appreciation of verses, science doesn't work that way. You don't write some gobbledygook and then find a science book that explains the gobbledygook to you. You just read the damn science book, and then you know what the hell is going on.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Dennis?
Take us out?
Yeah. Did it have to be like this, Dennis?
Hmm?
Did it have to be like this?
No. No, it didn't. That was our show, and it's a shame we had to do it because that means we live in the world that has crazy religious people in it. If we didn't, we wouldn't be having another episode in 2 weeks on the 19th of March. But since we do, we will. Until then, we leave you with Satellite by Brian Stieksma. The one good thing, I suppose, that's come of all this.
Ago, so there ain't no fake except the one you make, and there ain't no hell except the